Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 104 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It is great to be here with you both.
And Jacob Alka.
Happy Memorial Day to everyone.
Dude, good call. I totally forgot today's Memorial Day. If you're listening on Monday, May 29th, correct?
Yes.
I am in school currently. Unfortunately, my school is a private university. Therefore, they make all the rules themselves. So I am in class studying the art of screenwriting. And I'm not quite succeeding at it just yet. Very interesting to learn. But I imagine all of you are enjoying barbecues. And I imagine hopefully a beautiful sunny day wherever you're at in the world. And what are you guys up to today on Memorial Day?
I'm probably sleeping right now.
Ah,
no matter what time of the day it is, you can probably find me in bed.
Great. Well, Preston, why don't you bring us up to speed? You were a little sickly this past week, and it seems that you've survived. Thankfully, our prestigious host has returned to his throne. Tell us, how was your week?
Not the best I've ever had. But like you said, I survived at least. So I apologize if I do sound a little stuffy and if I have to take a break every now and then, because my throat is still a little bit raspy. And I might have to blow. I just took some nasal spray, so my nose isn't too stuffy right now, but occasionally I will it'll fill up again and I might have to go blow my nose.
Now, but your throat's scratchy because you said you swallowed a pine cone on
yes,
your lunch break?
Exactly.
Yeah, why a pine cone? See, if you're going to go for something in nature, you might as well stick to acorns. Because I've had one experience with a pine cone before and it did not go over so well, so clearly you did not learn from my experience.
Clearly, I'm still that's still a thing I do on my lunch break. So
I'm glad. Well, lay off the acorn, not the acorns. stick to the acorns. Lay off the pine cones. Therefore, you won't have to skip out on anything again because we desperately missed you. But it's good to have you back. I'm
Thank
glad you survived.
That's some sound advice. Yeah, I woke up Tuesday. Just like you know, when the sickness is coming, it's just inevitable. So I started taking like emergency and some vitamin C supplements, just anything to possibly prevent the sickness from arriving. But alas, my efforts were for naught because it came and it sucked. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a cold. Maybe it was something else. But I was not good in the slightest for a good like 4 or 5 days. And I'm still not completely over it. I definitely feel a lot better, but I'm still not in the best of shape. But I'm sure today on Memorial Day or in the next coming days, I should be 100% back to normal. So
excellent. You got any plans other than sleeping? Or are you just purely just going to sleep?
Oh, no. I was just joking. I am definitely I'm not working Monday. So I definitely probably will be getting some sleep, especially if I'm not still feeling as good. I'm trying to like lay off. Like I haven't worked out this week or anything because I'm just trying to, save my energy and get as much rest as I can. And I probably physically couldn't work out even if I wanted to with the way that I'm feeling. But yeah, I'll probably be just taking a chill pill Monday. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'll be like 1,000% better and I'll be good to go. But
you could hike a mountain.
Yeah, I could.
I probably get a little exercise.
I probably could do that.
What would you do on Memorial Day, Jacob? If you could do anything you wanted to, what would you do?
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach. Now, which beach specifically?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a beach that's nice and has clear water.
I feel you. That would be nice. I haven't been to the beach in years, I think, now.
I'd like a day just to lay on the beach and just lay in the sun.
Like a beached whale?
Yeah, just fall asleep.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound nice.
Mm-hmm. With a nice ice cold, maybe alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
Like a pina colada or something. Mm. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice, Jacob. I like your style. How was your week?
It was all right. Just another work week for old Jackie Moon. It's a nickname I call myself.
No, I'm not calling you that for years.
A lot of us call me that.
Yeah.
But
Jackie Moon, Jalka,
yeah.
Jacob Angus, Stanky Rangus. I haven't pulled that one out in a while. Been a great PSN name. We tried to get you to make that your PSN name. You
My original Xbox Live name was Richard Drangle.
I forgot about Richard Drangle.
I forgot about
Zach,
that too.
Zach peer pressured me into doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, just another week. Played some video games. I was about to say we went to see a movie. For some reason, I thought we went to go see Pirates, but we ended up not
doing
that.
We considered it.
Yeah.
We haven't gone yet, though.
Got in the pool this week at our buddy Evan's house.
Yes.
It was a good time.
Great. That's cool. Yeah,
nothing too exciting for me.
Yeah, me neither. Nothing quite exciting in my life. Just went to school, played a lot of video games, surprisingly, which we'll get to in a bit. But other than that, nothing too exciting going on in any of our lives, I guess. But we're all happy to be alive, and among all of you tuning in this week, thank you so much for being here. But what video game-wise, what have you guys been up to? Preston, I know you beat Persona. Why don't you tell us about that?
I did. I still went to work, even though I felt sick. I was still plowing through work, so I didn't have any extra time to play more video games than normal. So, but I did. I stayed committed to Persona. More typically, I was like dabbling in Farpoint and Mario Kart, but I, you know, completely dedicated my week to beating Persona, and I did it on Wednesday or Thursday night, doesn't matter. But man, it's like you think that game is going to end and it just doesn't. It keeps going and going, and then you think it's going to end again, and then it just continues to go on and on and on. So that's definitely not a complaint, because like more Persona is always welcome. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
What was your, after your first playthrough, how many hours did you have? Do you remember?
110.
Jeez, man. I got another 25 to go.
Yeah, I thought I was coming towards the end at around the 95 mark. You kind of are tricked into thinking it's the end. And nah, there's still like another 15 hours left. So it's like, it's hilarious how long that game is. It's so funny. But
worth the ride, though, I'd imagine.
Oh, gosh. Excuse me.
Preston's dying.
We're losing him.
He's gone.
Sorry.
I will catch you next week, dude.
Swallowed my Gatorade wrong.
Just falls over and chokes live on camera.
All right, we'll take over from here.
But no, I'm already in my second playthrough. Jacob, what palace are you at right now?
I'm still in the sixth. I've hardly had any time to dedicate to that game, especially since the Overwatch event came out this week. I've been trying to do that and get skins and play the end of the competitive season. But this next week, I'll hopefully at least get past the sixth palace. I've been in there for a couple weeks now.
So, Jacob, I'm on my second playthrough, and I just beat the fifth palace about an hour ago.
It's insane.
Yeah. So, it... Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I haven't talked to anybody like this extensively the entire week, so my throat's probably not confused on what's happening. But yeah, I'm like, I've already just beat the fifth palace. Knowing what to do and knowing which trophies that I'm trying to get, and like my confidants, I didn't get them all the way to 10. Going through the fifth palace, I almost have every confidant already maxed out, because you go into New Game Plus with all your social skills, and I had maxed out all my social skills my first playthrough, so I'm not having to worry about studying or doing anything else to get those up. I can just fully commit to getting all the confidants. So though, I'm knocking those out like super, super fast. So like I said, I'm not having to like think about, oh, what am I doing? It's just confidant every single night. And I'm just getting those palaces done in a day. And I'm skipping every single dialogue and cutscene with like the fast forward option. So that's probably what's making the game go by so fast, because you cut out all the story stuff and it's really not that long. I think I'm at 138 hours right now, so I've been playing for like 25 or something hours, and I'm already past the fifth palace. So, that's just hilarious how much of the game is like dialogue and stuff, and how many hours upon hours upon hours that is. But yeah, I want to say I'm ready to just be done with it, because it is a absolutely fantastic game, and it is going to be that, and Zelda are like tugging at my heart at which one so far is my like favorite game this year, because what they do, they both do so incredibly well. And I just love both of them so equally. So I'll be interested to see how I feel about both of them as the months go by. But yeah, so I'm not like, well, begging for it to be over, but I am looking forward to getting into Prey. So I'm kind of wanting to just kind of finish up a little bit with Persona. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I did. I did, Garrett, I don't know if you knew this, but I did read something a little bit heartbreaking about Prey.
What's that?
So even on the back of the box, it says PS4 Pro supported.
Okay.
Well, Digital Foundry did this like tech analysis video of it and found that it literally does nothing differently than the regular version. Even though it says PS4 Pro.
And I guess technically speaking, they could arguably say that, considering that it can be played, quote unquote, on PS4 Pro.
That's essentially what their answer was to when they were questions about it. Because in the forums, I was reading some forums about it, and people were complaining, like, what the heck? Like, this says PS4 Pro, and we're getting the same exact thing. And one of the moderators, like, one of the Bethesda guys was like, technically, we meet the PS4 Pro requirements to put that logo on the back of the box. And that's, like, essentially what he said. So that kind of sucks, but I don't know. Me and you both bought the Pro knowing exactly what we were doing and stuff.
Did I tell you, after playing Horizon on Pro, I do not regret that decision at all. That game, I mean, the whole game was great, but just aesthetically and graphically, it was absolutely stunning from start to finish, so I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, I know we had high hopes in the beginning, and in some cases, we do get the higher frame rates. Like, apparently the Surge in PS4 Pro runs 1080p 60 frames, whereas on the regular, it's 30 frames. And on Tomb Raider, you can unlock the frame rate. Apparently Hitman, the frame rate's better. But with the CPU just being overclocked, and that's apparently what helps with the frame rate and stuff, at the top, like, just the pretty much the substantial difference we're going to get is just the resolution with the Pro, which we pretty much knew, but we were kind of hoping that we were going to get a little bit more. But you know, we bought it knowing what we were going to get, and I'm fine with the resolution upgrade. That was worth it for me with having a, you know, 4K TV and stuff. So it's fine. It's just a little disappointing. I'm like pumped to get into Prey, and I was looking into that, and it's kind of just like it's whatever. I've already played a little bit of it, and that, you know, not having a higher resolution or whatever definitely didn't like keep me from enjoying anything. So
that's good.
Yep. And I unlocked the gold cart, and I'm like 3 races away from unlocking the golden tires in Mario Kart.
Okay, remind me about the tires real quick, because I'm doing the time trials currently and I'm a little confused. Do you have to beat the time trial of, because I'm confused because I see all these names called Nin Star something. Are those like Nintendo people?
Yeah, you just have to beat their times.
Okay, because that's what I've been doing. I just assumed that's what it was.
Yeah.
So
it's not.
I've been nicking away at that too. I got the cart, but I'm just in love with. This is my main, Preston. I roll with Danky Kang.
I hate how your main looks. I hate that cart.
Yeah, Jacob hates how I look, and I honestly think it looks retarded.
And you're the
too,
guy that's all the oh, I gotta look cool. You look ridiculous when you race.
No. Yeah, I look. Yeah, it is funny because in most games, like RPGs and stuff, like if I don't look cool, I'm not having fun. But in Mario Kart, I look like a total idiot. But it's a great balance because I have Danky Kang, who's kind of a middleweight character, and I use the it's called like the buggy buddy or something. It looks like a ladybug. It's like a little round ladybug and has wings on it.
Yeah.
And I use those tiny little red wheels because the stats, I found out what my favorite stats are in Mario Kart. It's very high acceleration and very high handling, purely because I get hit with so many items that my acceleration helps me just to take off much quicker every time I get hit. So that balance has been very wonderful for me online. So it's been good. We played a lot of split screen at Evans this week too, but that's my setup, and I don't even use the gold cart, and I have it, but I'm in love with my Donkey Kong and my little ladybug cart. So
did you lose
it? Is cool
it
that I have it though. What's that?
Did you lose it all when you played this week?
I lost a couple times. Like Jacob beat me a couple times, but whenever either of us lost to each other, it was always because of like a blue or red shell at the very end or something crazy like that. So
Gotcha.
But it was fun. But online was great. I continue to do. For some reason, I can do well online. But whenever I play Yule, it just doesn't work out for some reason. It's awful. And Jacob seems to have the same scenario I have when I play you, where he gets hit by 1,000 things and I don't get touched at all the entire time. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, every now and then both of us will, but it's a weird anomaly Mario Kart is. You never quite know what the deal is. It's just hit or miss every time, but I adore it. I played Taking a Dump earlier before this podcast. It was great. Speaking of which, I talk about 3 times this week.
Oh, wow.
Not my proudest moment, but I got to tell you, every single time was superb. Wow. So I don't regret it. Also, the air just came on. You mind if we pause very awkwardly for about 3 seconds? Okay, we're good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I had Taco Bell yesterday.
Great. How was it?
I'm sure it was great. I couldn't taste it, though, because my nose was stuffy.
Is this the new one by your house?
It is.
Great. Great.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we were talking about Mario Kart?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, tell you. So you got the gold car. What else did you do in Mario Kart? You said you're close to the wheels?
Yeah, that's about it. I've just been slowly nicking away with it. I've been getting to work a little bit early, like 30 minutes early, and I'll just whip it out and play a few matches there. And, you know, when I'm taking a crap or just sitting in the living room watching something like Family Guy or whatever, I'll just nick away at it.
Nice. Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do is get to school literally an hour early so I can play Switch until class starts.
Oh, I did one more thing non-video game related. I texted you about it briefly. I watched straight last night with Lizzie about 7 episodes of Attack on Titan.
Season 2, correct?
Season 2. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, it's good.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out where you were without spoiling anything, but I asked you, like, did you get to the holy crap moment? And you said, I don't know. I feel like you should know, so I don't know if you're there.
I mean, maybe I do, because, I mean, I've been watching it, but I've been watching it as I fall asleep every night.
Gotcha.
And I haven't missed anything, but I'm, like, kind of half invested when I'm watching it, but I remember everything that's happened.
I'll say this won't spoil anything, but they drop a reveal literally out of two big reveals out of nowhere.
Okay, then yes, I've seen what you're talking about there.
Okay.
And that did blow my mind for
sure. Yeah, I was like, what the heck? Why would you reveal it that way? But that was also just like, that's insane. And then what precedes that is freaking insane too. So
it was, yeah. Now I know what you're talking about. So
yeah, so the episodes kind of preceding what I'm talking about, they all end in cliffhangers and we just could not stop. We were just like plowing them out. And we just had to go to sleep last night and it ended on a cliffhanger. So I'm super excited to get back in that tonight. And I'm probably just going to end up finishing what's out there now. I think there's like 2 more episodes that have released. So I'm probably going to.
That's why I'm kind of glad we waited several weeks to get into it because of all those cliffhangers. But,
oh, dude.
And I'm sad there's only like 4 episodes left. It bums me out.
I know. It does suck. But I'm assuming I'm not supposed to know what's happening because I know in general what's happening, but there's so many like they're like in one place and then all of a sudden they're like showing what happened. And then it's like 12 hours earlier. It's like time is jumping around everywhere. And I'm assuming
in the end,
it's going to be like all come together and I'm going to know like 100% what's going on.
Yeah.
But, I'm super, super into it. So, yeah, that would have sucked so bad if the episodes I'm talking about, if it would have just ended and I had to wait another week to, like, see what was after that. That would have been so bad. So, but, I'm digging it. That's all I did this week.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend. Jacob, how was your video game week? I know you play a lot of Mario Kart. How'd it go for you?
It was okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just been nicking away at the 150cc Grand Prix to unlock the cart, right?
I think the cart's the mirror tracks, right?
It's the mirror. Yeah, it's the mirror.
Do you get anything for the 150cc?
No.
I don't think so. That's just kind of like, I've done it.
I'm just doing it for a completionist sick, I guess.
Yeah.
To learn the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I've played a tiny bit amount of Persona, like I mentioned earlier. Still stuck in the Six Palace. I've made it to past the halfway point, I believe, now. So.
Okay.
You know, I'll probably finish that tonight if I get the chance to play a lot.
Jacob, I want to hear so bad what you think about the story preceding that palace because it just gets so good.
Yeah, I feel like I know what's about to happen and I'm really excited to see it.
I'll have to just, after the podcast is over, you just say it into me. And you can't see my face or anything, so I won't be able to give it away.
Okay. But besides that, played some Overwatch anniversary event. The event itself is really cool. I love all the skins that are in the event. And the new 3v3 maps that they added are really awesome. I really find myself wanting to play 3v3 a lot more now. So that's cool. You know, because prior I didn't really play a lot of 3v3 or 1v1, but now I'm feeling compelled to go back to it. But besides that, we released a Overwatch loot box video this last weekend, and wasn't good for me. Dropped a lot of money, didn't get anything that I wanted, really.
Yeah, that was bad.
A little upset about that. Mm. But and what's even funny is that that night after I went back to my house to play more Overwatch, I got another loot box, and I got a skin that I already had.
Right,
exactly. Unboxing. Well, mm-hmm. I bought it in the video with credits, and then I got it in a loot box later, which is really pissed me
off. It's so cruel because at first you got the Pharah skin from Anniversary, and then we're like, oh, that's cool, and then it drops for you again. Yeah. And that was the only other legendary skin drop we got, if I'm not mistaken, at least for Anniversary.
For the Anniversary, yeah.
And they're like, all right, well, at least we'll buy Tracer because you really want Tracer, and that sucks so much. You buy her, and hours later, you get her in a loot box.
I had two loot boxes later in the second
that
one.
That is so cruel. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jacob. I've only acquired the D.Va skin, and I think that's it so far, as far as skins are concerned. But
I mean, I got a lot of dances, which is cool. All the dances are really cool in this update. But besides that, that is what I did this week.
That's
in video games.
Okay, wow. I actually did a lot. What?
Tested out ARMS, the beta.
Oh, yeah, I did that, too.
What'd you think?
I just played that I played a couple matches before we started, actually, and it's okay. I like how in-depth it is. Like, I didn't know it was going to be, you know, select your different arm with different abilities. I don't really see myself getting into it, because I think there'll be a pretty competitive community around this game, because it's pretty cool for what it is, but, you know, I've never been into fighting games, per se, besides Smash Bros., so I don't really see this grabbing my attention, and I don't know if I'll pick it up when it releases.
Fair. What do you think, Preston?
I thought it was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. The motion controls I had completely written off. I was purely going to play it with like a pro controller.
I didn't use the motion controls.
I
did too. I thought
they
it was awesome.
Worked really good. Like, they surprised me how well they worked. Like twisting, turning your arms and stuff, like, worked super good. Blocking, you know, moving. So that's what was the funnest thing about it to me, were the controls. So
I found it oddly satisfying too, using those motion controls. I felt far more pumped up when I won a match using my actual arms to fight someone for some reason.
Yeah,
and it was very interesting because, I mean, when you learn the controls, it can be I didn't think it was too much to take in, but once you get used to the way the game feels, I played 3 or 4 matches. I lost one, but I won the rest.
Yeah,
and it just
that's
felt
the exact
cool
same
to
thing
win.
With me. I played like 4 matches, won 3, lost one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing level 15, 20 people, so I was losing every time.
Did you guys play the volleyball mode?
I didn't.
I randomly got stuck in one where you're playing volleyball, and I won that match too. That was fun, where I was throwing my arms up to spike it and stuff. It was cool.
I played a 2v2, a three-person match, and then I played a single match.
Nice.
So I liked the team matches. Those were fun.
Mm-hmm.
I played
We're
one of those.
Connected by that thing.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. My strategy was essentially just throwing everybody.
Exactly. So, just arms out and slamming as often as possible.
Yeah, I was throwing people like crazy. Literally every match I played, every single person was the ninja guy.
Every single person. Mm-hmm. And he is definitely the coolest looking, but I played as the mummy guy first and then the ninja guy for my last one. But I like how they all have different super abilities as well, which I thought was interesting. So, did you ever use any super abilities?
Oh, yeah, I did with the ninja. All I played was the ninja guy. I was like, he looks cool. So I'm guessing, like you said, that's what everybody else did as well.
Right.
But no, I didn't get to play as anybody else. I only got into it. That's so dumb how they do these test fire beta things they give you an hour to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped in with like 10 minutes left the first time, and then I just played for the ending like 15 minutes of the second time the day I had it. So
I'm kind of bummed that I didn't get a chance to do the Splatoon one, right? Because there was one for that, right?
Was there?
Yeah, it was a while ago. They're
like
not very
a month ago.
They're not like really, granted, I don't follow a ton of Nintendo stuff, but they're not really vocal about when all this stuff is going on. I had to like Google when the times were and stuff.
Yeah, I just knew about the ARMS one because of I was on the Nintendo eShop on my Switch and I just happened to see the little news story.
Right.
Oh, so. I never even look at the eShop.
I always check it when there's that little blue dot under it where there's indicating there's new news.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
That's cool.
But I hope I do get a chance to play Splatoon 2 before it releases because I'd like to try it to know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, same with me because I am interested just based off the success I had on Wii U. And I remember we were talking about last night a few years ago at the Game Awards, the one shooter of the year over Call of Duty and all whatever else was there that year.
Multiplayer game of the year, I think.
That's okay. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So I am interested in trying it. But ARMS, I don't see myself getting into it either. Although I was impressed by the way it played and felt and all they've put into it. It was far more, like we said, than we had initially anticipated. But like, same with me. I mean, I'm playing Injustice 2 right now, and I can't see myself playing it for more than another week just because I'm not that into fighting games. But I am a DC fan, and I like superheroes. That's why I'm playing through it.
Dude,
but
I'm ARMS dying is cool. to play that game.
Injustice 2?
It's happening all over again. I tell you, every single time NetherRealms releases a new game, my brain tricks me. And it's like, dude, you're gonna be dedicated to this game. You're going to get good. So the same exact cycle is happening again. But I'm trying to fight it off because I do not need to buy that game to, like you said, play it for like 2 weeks tops. And give
right,
it up.
Yeah, I have no interest in trying to get good at it, especially after doing all the training. There is so much to do, and all the characters are different that it's just too much for me to invest time into trying to get good. So I'm just button mashing my way through the campaign right now, and I might fight a couple guys online, get my ass kicked, and then trade it back in for something else. I don't know.
Nice.
But the reason why I picked it up is because I also beat two games this week, Preston. Much bigger and badder than Persona 5. It's a little embarrassing that you're boasting about beating that, and I beat two far more significant games. I beat Limbo on PS4, and Jacob and I also completed Outlast 2, but Limbo is cool because I remember playing the demo on 360, as did you, Preston, and I thought I was very interested by it, but I never got around to playing it. I finally played it on PS4. It was beautiful, and it was weird, too, playing it after Inside and going back to play Limbo, just how Inside kind of expands upon everything you do in Limbo, and it's cool to see that progression. So I'm excited for their next game, but Limbo was beautiful, and it was a very interesting ending as well. I had to research it a bit, but I loved it. And Outlast 2 was just okay. Jacob and I, neither of us were very impressed. I mean, it wasn't a bad game at all. It was actually very pretty, and it played fine. It's just the story wasn't that interesting to me. I never really felt compelled to be chasing after this woman we're supposed to care about. That is, granted, Blake's wife in the game, but I don't really feel attached to her, so I'm just kind of going through the motions.
Without spoiling anything, the ending kind of left me disappointed.
Yeah, it's whatever. Yeah, I've heard that online a lot of people are like, this is a stupid ending or a confusing ending, and I've read or listened to explanations on YouTube describing the ending, and I still don't really care, but it was fun playing through it. We had some serious spooks a couple of times. There was more me scaring you with my screams, Jacob, that of which I apologize for, but we've completed it. Part 8 will be the final part, going live on our YouTube channel at some point this week. If any of you have had fun watching us play through Outlast, the final part will be out, and we appreciate all of you giving us your time watching us play through. It was cool.
Yep.
But I also enjoyed Overwatch, Jacob. I don't have much other to say than what you said, but unlock the D.Va skin, hoping to get a couple more before the event ends early next month. And I also enjoy the 3v3 matches. We have a 3v3 Let's Play on our YouTube, and Jacob mentioned the loot box episode, and we may stream it once or twice more during the anniversary event this week, I'd say. It's a lot of fun. We appreciate you guys tuning in to all those videos. But in addition to games, I mentioned Injustice 2, and the campaign's awesome. I think the story's pretty cool. I love seeing all the characters interact, and everyone knows this. I'm just beating a dead horse at this point, but the facial animations really are spectacular. Now, other characters look far superior to some of the other ones, but overall, they all look beautiful. And I love having Kevin Conroy playing Batman, as always. That's awesome. And just seeing him interact with all the other characters, and even the villains are cool. So I suck at it, but I've had a lot of fun with it. And I imagine myself and a few community members, a few OGs out there, will duke it out before I trade the game in. I'd like to fight you guys, or at least get destroyed by you, and be my honor and privilege, so I look forward to that. But other than games, we did do a new episode of Ask IOG. It is live on our YouTube channel, which is exclusive to YouTube. We're nearing the point, hopefully soon, to not only do it weekly, but to throw it up on podcasting services. So another shout out to all of you that have been sending us community questions for this podcast and Ask IOG. It's been awesome. We appreciate all the support. So episode 3 is live. If you guys want to check it out on YouTube, that's to all you Spotify and iTunes and wherever else you are out on the internet. listeners other than YouTube. But yeah, other than that, Preston, I guess all we have to announce is our E3 plans, if you want to bring us up to speed there.
Yeah, absolutely. Starting Saturday, the June 10th at 12 p.m. Pacific time, which, Garrett, what is that in Eastern Standard Time?
I think it's 3 p.m.
It's 3 p.m.
3 p.m. Okay, so 3 p.m. our time, 12 p.m. Pacific time, we will stream the Electronic Arts conference. We'll be live commentating on it, so you can pretty much watch it with us. Granted, if the technology gods above us allow it to happen, we will be doing that. And then proceeding the following Sunday, Monday, we'll just be streaming essentially every single press conference live with post and pre and post reactions. And I'm assuming we'll upload those to YouTube, just the pre and post, or will we just upload everything?
Yeah, I imagine we'll upload maybe everything. Maybe we'll just figure out how to cut it to where it's just the conference and our post reactions.
Splice it together.
Or maybe just our post reactions. I guess we'll see.
We could probably do everything together. Or chop
it. Could.
A lot of people just do everything.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well.
Since I don't know if we could do like
recorded.
A pre.
I mean, when we stream, we'll do a pre.
But not like
when we
YouTube,
upload it,
yeah.
We might not. Yeah. We'll figure it out. All those details we're figuring out. But we will be doing all that live, all those E3 days, and we're excited.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys can tune in. We'll keep you guys up to date on Discord and stuff, because I know some of you around the world, it's difficult to figure out when we say Eastern and Pacific time. So we'll just say, hey, in an hour, we'll be live on Twitch and stuff like that, so you guys that want to tune in can.
Yeah. So I pretty much said that in a very complicated way, but we're just going to be streaming everything. So there you go.
Yeah. It'll be cool.
It will be very cool. It's still crazy that it's as close as it is.
I know. It's insane.
It's just
when you get this busy in life, it just comes and goes so quickly.
Yeah. I'm super pumped. I'm assuming in probably the week prior, we'll do an entire E3 dedicated episode where we go through our predictions and things that are confirmed and kind of discuss them and stuff.
Yes, I think that's actually next week will be our prediction episode, because the week after that is E3. So,
oh, dang. It's closer than I thought.
Yes,
are we doing a regular podcast that week, or are we just going to do our E3 stuff? I think we should just do the live streams.
I guess, I don't know. Yeah, we haven't figured that out either.
Yeah,
I guess
it starts on Saturday, typically, when
we should replace the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah, that's typically we do it. So, okay, well, is that pretty much everything involving?
I think that's everything. I think we've covered all the bases.
Excellent. Well, this is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. You can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. If YouTube isn't good for you, or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on iTunes, Audioboom, Spotify, Google Play, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for links to our social media pages, our Discord channel, PlayStation community, and other means to connect with us. If you haven't subscribed already, please subscribe to the channel and be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so would help us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt. With all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news?
Dudes, well, Jeff Kaplan, speaking of Overwatch, Jacob, as we were a few minutes ago, he has announced via their live stream during the anniversary earlier this week that the new Overwatch hero is just over the horizon. He encourages fans to get excited about it, Jacob, but also Terry Crews himself claims there's a huge surprise in store for fans at E3 2017. Do you have any predictions of who it might be?
Was he talking about Overwatch?
Overwatch, yes.
It might be a new hero, Garrett.
Well, he says it is a new hero. It's just over the horizon. And
it
Terry Crews,
Doomfist.
Yeah, see, Terry Crews says there's a big surprise in store for E3. So I assume when Jeff Kaplan says just over the horizon, I assume he means E3. Mm-hmm. And Terry Crews, E3, big surprise for Overwatch fans. Yeah. And the rumor has been that he's voicing the new character Doomfist. Unless they pull a fast one on, it's going to give us a new Orisa. Orisa's brother, Borisa, or something boring like that. We'll see.
Well, a lot of people think that Doomfist will come out at BlizzCon, and they're thinking it's going to be someone else.
You think so?
I don't know what it's going to be, personally.
Okay, maybe we'll never get Doomfist.
Maybe
they'll just tease us forever.
Maybe Terry Crews saying that to be excited, maybe that confirms that, you know, it's going to be Doomfist.
I imagine if he says it, whoever he's voicing, if it's not Doomfist, which we assume
it is. If he's voicing anything, it's got to be Doomfist.
Yeah, so if he says there's a big surprise, I think it's almost guaranteeing that we're going to see Doomfist at E3. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'd love Overwatch or Blizzard to be like, hey, Doomfist is here right now. Go play him. That'd be awesome. I imagine they'd do that because Blizzard just on a whim releases characters.
I think they'd put it on the PTR first.
That's probably what it'll be, yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks later, it'll be on us. On us console peasants, it'll be
that's
available.
The thing, though. Like, Blizzard never has a presence at E3, so it's gonna
I know,
be weird.
That's what I was wondering. So, where do you think they'd be? Think they'd be at,
They might just... They don't think they'll have, like, a press conference, obviously, yeah. But, you know, they might just announce it during E3 week.
Right. Do you think they'd announce it at one of our core conferences, or do you think they'd do something else?
Just do it on social media, probably. Mm. Reddit.
Well, cool. Yeah, that's exciting. Well, I hope it's Doomfist. I'm ready to see this character. His fist has been stolen. This new Bonnie is where it was, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. The payload.
Yeah, so that's why we're
delivering the payload to put it in that museum, I believe.
Okay.
To keep it protected.
Right. Yeah, we got to get it back, Jacob. Otherwise, he's going to punch us all to death. Yeah. So I'm excited about that, though. I look forward to finding out what it is. In addition to sour news this week, no, that's not really sour news, but Red Dead has been delayed, which isn't much of a surprise. But Mr. Martin MC22 on Discord says, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you guys call the Red Dead Redemption 2 would be delayed? Regardless, this delay is huge. How do you guys feel about that? Does it concern you?
I think the better question is who didn't call it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think mostly everyone expected it to be delayed because Rockstar delays nearly every game they've ever developed. So it's not much of a surprise, but I'm not too concerned because, as always, although not Red Dead, Rockstar does delay all their games, they always turn out to be fantastic every time. So I have no worries whatsoever.
Yeah, I just want to see something now.
Yeah, I mean, we saw some gnarly screenshots.
Yeah,
you guys
screenshots.
Those were cool.
They looked really cool. I just want to
see they were gorgeous.
One of those classic Rockstar videos with the dude talking.
Yeah. I think it's only a matter of time till we get one of those. I imagine perhaps towards the end of the year or at the turn of the year, because they seem to lead into the release of the game. They release three or four of them, and then a couple weeks later, the game comes out.
You think this is the first year, well, where they'll have a presence at E3, like a reveal or something?
I don't know. I want to say they will, because remember we were teased. We were for sure dead set on the fact that they were going to reveal it last year at Sony's E3. And whether or not that's true, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see that, because we know, they do have some sort of relationship with Sony. So I don't know what to expect. I mean, I imagine we'll talk more about that in our predictions episode, but I got to say, even though they typically don't have an E3 presence, I'd love for them to have one this year.
I'm going to just go ahead and say probably not, but it would be really cool.
Yes. Yeah, but I love everything we've seen from the screenshots. Another tease, of course, but even the close-up of whoever it was holding the two revolvers, the detail on like the hands and the guns looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So very excited to see more. But yeah, we're not worried about it, but we are excited for spring 2018. Yeah. I'm going to guess it's coming in May of next year, because the last Red Dead came on May 17th or 18th. I just remember that was the very first M-rated game I bought on my own, because it was my 18th birthday, either the day before or the day after. And I remember I bought it, and the guy's like, can I see your ID? I was like, yes, sir. And I pulled out my ID, and he goes, man, cutting it close. I was like, hell yeah. That was the first M-rated game I bought.
It was your first curse word, too.
It was, yeah. Yeah, I figured I'm 18 now. I can cuss all I want. So it was a great day. I'll never forget it, but I look forward to the sequel.
I'm kind of glad that it's delayed, though, because that was kind of stressing me out with Destiny coming out this holiday.
Yeah, I am, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff coming out this fall season, so I'm pumped.
I'm glad that's, because, you know, whenever Red Dead comes out, that's what I'm dedicating my time to, like, 100%. Like, I'm trying to think of any game that would take me off track from Red Dead, and I don't think there is one. So, happy it's delayed so I can dedicate my time to other games I'm looking forward to this holiday. So,
absolutely.
Well, Far Cry, that's going to be coming out next year. But
yeah,
we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
February, though, so probably significantly before Red Dead at this point.
Well, maybe.
But yeah, what was I going to say? Anything else from you, Jacob, regarding Red Dead?
No.
No?
I'm just excited. I'm glad it's delayed.
Nice. You and me both.
Don't know much yet still.
So. Yeah, before we continue, I got to say, all this news comes courtesy of nerdmuch.com. By the way, I forgot to say that at the beginning. We also received a leaked image from Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Had you guys heard about this before you saw this image?
Yeah, I heard about it long time ago.
Okay, I had never even heard about this in my entire life, but it looks interesting. It was actually kind of weird when I was reading about it. It says it sounds like an RPG with 8 playable characters, turn-based combat, 4 world environments to discover, complete with puzzles and secret zones, a story mode around 20 hours in length, upgradable weapons, various enemy archetypes, and bosses. It will also feature multiplayer co-op. So I haven't played a Mario game even slightly like that ever in my experience, so that's interesting. And the fact that it's crossing over with the Rabbids from
Ubisoft.
Is that from Rayman?
Yeah. Yeah, it's from
Okay.
Rayman.
Do you think Rayman himself will be in the game?
Probably not.
Okay, because I didn't see him on the
No, cover. Rabbids have become their own thing.
Okay, interesting. Kind of like Minions from Despicable Me.
Pretty much.
Excellent.
Yeah, but no.
Does this interest you at all? Because it's coming to Switch.
Maybe. I didn't really look too in-depth to it. The things that were leaked were like promotional, like a PowerPoint presentation, which is pretty funny because did you see what it says about Peach on it?
No.
So she's a badass princess, and this obviously wasn't meant for consumer eyes, just in the vernacular they use and stuff.
Right.
But that was just pretty funny to me. But
interesting.
No, this was leaked a long time ago, like far before the Switch was even released, that they were going to team up with Ubisoft's to do it. So.
All right, this one went well over my radar. I did not hear about it at all, but I think that sounds pretty cool. It's just different. Anything I hear that's coming to Switch, I get excited about because I want more to play on it. Even though I'm loving every bit of my time with Zelda and Mario Kart, I'm still ready for more.
Yeah.
But speaking of Switch titles, the expanded version of Monster Hunter Generations, Monster Hunter XX, has been announced for the Switch. Preston, are you excited about Monster Hunter? I remember you mentioned it a couple
in
weeks
Japan.
Ago.
It said Japan for now, but
yeah.
I know. Monster Hunter is pretty big over here. So, I'm sure it'll inevitably come over here, but, right. When it does, hopefully, yes, I will pick it up. Monster Hunter games have always intrigued me. I just never really wanted to play them on the 3DS, and I believe there was a version on Wii U, and obviously I never had a Wii U. So this, for me to ever get into Monster Hunter, it is on the Switch. So,
yeah, I feel you. I worked with a gentleman at GameStop briefly who was a big fan of Monster Hunter on 3DS, and everything he told me about it and showed me during our work days when no one would come into the store got me genuinely interested in playing one of them at some point. So if this does indeed come to the US, I will for sure give it a shot. As I just mentioned, I'd love to play more on my Switch.
Yeah, it'd be cool for me and you to play with each other. It's a very co-op heavy game.
Totally.
So
I'll hunt some monsters with you any day of the week, Preston.
Okay.
What about you, Jacob? You interested?
Yeah. I've never played one of these Monster Hunter games.
Pretty sure
before.
All three of us could play with each other.
You've hunted some monsters in The Witcher.
You're right. And I've captured monsters in Pokemon.
You have.
I've dealt with monsters before.
Yeah, Jacob knows his way around a good monster, Preston. Are you prepared to take down some monsters?
Yeah.
Okay, I certainly hope so.
I hope
we can count on you.
Sure.
I imagine we can. You platinum The Witcher twice. That's a lot of monsters.
Yeah. If anybody's the monster slayer here, it's me.
I second the notion. Well, Bandai Namco has teased new content for Little Nightmares. This gets me excited because I really enjoyed Little Nightmares. The ending blew my mind, not at all what I was expecting. So I'm very intrigued as to what we might be getting. And the image shows Six, the little girl in the yellow raincoat, looking out
a
window.
With a different color coat.
Yeah, with a purple coat. What does this mean? But she's looking out a window of the Maw. The Maw. That's the ship you've been exploring throughout Little Nightmares. And she sees a little boy in the distance who looks like he's leaving. It's the little vague image we've seen so far, but this gets me excited because I was hoping for more content going forward after completing the game. It's a short little game, but it is fantastic, and I highly recommend
it
to those that are at all interested.
Does it explain why the person is in the raincoat?
I don't think so. I mean, there are vague opinions and ideas. I've watched a couple of videos. Now, there might be additional videos now of people explaining the ending, but I've heard some very vague ideas as to what people believe the game's all about, and I think it's sort of self-explanatory when you play through it, but through further investigation I've come full circle and I kind of understand what the game's all about, and it's very interesting.
Do you know who your character, who you're playing as?
Sort of. I mean, again, I don't have anything solid facts, okay. But from what I've heard it sounds correct to me, but you never know.
That definitely is at once I platinum Persona and I'm playing Prey and like Farpoint simultaneously, I might take a break one or two nights and knock that game out.
Yeah, it's super quick, but all of it is wonderful from start to finish, so it's good. Are you ever going to play Little Nightmares, Jacob? You can borrow it if you want. It's super short.
I think Zelda's more on my radar right now. But I feel maybe you. Sometime in the future, maybe before
That's what's
August
so when... enticing about Little Nightmares is I've heard nonstop good things about it, and you can finish it in just one sitting. It's not like a...
You literally can,
It's
yeah.
not a game you have to, like, fully commit to, like, you know, Zelda or Persona. So
totally worth it. We do have a full walkthrough on our channel to those who that are, if you haven't already watched someone play through it, if you haven't played it yourself and you're interested in checking it out, we do have a full walkthrough on our YouTube channel. But dudes, we have the Xbox Games with Gold for June. My most exciting time of the month, every month, guys. For Xbox One, we're getting Speedrunners, which apparently is a side-scrolling multiplayer game. You guys heard about this one?
I have not.
I have not either.
Yeah, me neither. But Watch Dogs as well. For that's Xbox
cool.
One.
That's cool.
That's the one.
That's where I played Watch Dogs.
What's his name? Aiden Pierce, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the sequel too, isn't he, briefly?
He's in a side mission, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, well, 360...
What's he doing in San Francisco?
He was actually, doing stuff. Captured. You have to save him.
Mm-hmm. I think I watched that mission on YouTube, and it was kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so... I didn't quite get into Watch Dogs 2. Maybe I will
Watch
one day,
Dogs
but...
2 was fun.
Yeah, I mean, what I played was cool. Mm-hmm. I just something else was out at the time, and I was just trying to get through it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, but. I don't remember hardly anything about Watch Dogs 2. Like, I don't remember any missions, but...
You platinumed it, though, didn't you?
Yeah. That's the platinum I don't remember. So, I couldn't tell you a thing about that game, but I apparently put in enough time to platinum it, so...
Well, congratulations to you, Preston.
Thanks.
Yeah, for 360, they're getting Assassin's Creed 3 and Dragon Age Origins. Now, Preston, remind me, did you like Origins or was it
yes.
2 that you didn't like?
I love Origins.
Those are two solid games.
Okay.
Those are very good games. I enjoy Dragon Age 2 as well.
Okay, because I remember there was one other than Inquisition that you didn't like very much. I can't remember which one it was.
No, I mean, there's only three. 2 wasn't as good as the first one. But
okay,
was,
maybe that's what you said.
It was definitely fun, in my opinion. There was just literally one area of the game. You just explore the city, and the dungeons are just like the same place over and over again. So it was definitely more, it seemed rushed out. But besides that, the combat was really fun.
Nice.
So
yeah, I love Assassin's Creed 3 as well. I haven't played it since my days in 360. Mm-hmm. But
I don't understand the hate for Assassin's Creed 3.
Neither do I. I've never understood. Now, I realize that the game, people were frustrated with the fact the trailer made it look like all-out war, and that doesn't happen at all. But I understand that complaint, but overall, I like the game.
Yeah, okay, no. I was disappointed in that. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, the big set-piece moments were not even close to as cool as the trailers made them out to be. But overall, it's just... the game itself, just free running and the combat and stuff. I really, really enjoyed it.
Right. I know we always say this, but I thought he was one of the coolest
protagonists. Yeah. I thought Connor was a very interesting dynamic character, and the fact that all that drama with his father and everything, it was very Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker scenario. And I thought that was super interesting.
And it was also very different from the assassins that we knew prior to that too.
Right. Now remind me, bring me up to speed here. Kinway is Connor's father's name, right? And then Kinway is the father, or he's like the grandfather of Edward Kinway, or is it reverse? He's the son of Edward Kinway, correct?
There's Edward Kinway, which is the pirate. Then he has a son who I believe is Haytham.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe.
And then Connor comes after.
Yeah.
That's so cool to think Connor, the Native American's grandfather, was a famous pirate. Yeah. So cool.
So, I love Black Flag so much.
So do I. I thought that was one of the coolest revelations when you find out that Edward Kinway is the father of Haytham. That's so cool.
We already knew that.
Did we?
Yeah. That was like well known before the game even came out.
Well, I mean, I knew that, but I'm saying I thought you meant... because I knew we knew. I'm just saying that when we found that out, it's just cool to know that.
Oh, got you. I thought you meant like it was like a revelation in the game or something.
No, like you start the game like, holy shit. No, just when they announced that, I thought that was cool.
Did you guys play the Assassin's Creed 4 DLC with...
I played a little
what
bit.
What was his name?
Adewale.
Oh, yeah, the dude that had the cleaver weapon. And I played a little bit of it. Yeah, and the...
Freedom Cry, I believe was the name of it.
I enjoyed that too.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that.
You can like, I
forgot he had his own ship too.
You can like download that separately. Like you don't even have to own Assassin's Creed 4 to play that.
Yeah.
So, I didn't finish it, but I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I did think it was cool too. Yeah, after I had dealt with everything else in Assassin's Creed 4, especially after those legendary ships, I was ready to take a break from the high seas. So
I hear you.
I struggled to play through the DLC, but it was cool.
We're going to see some new Assassin's Creed stuff in like 2-3 weeks.
We are. I'm quite excited. I hope it surpasses my expectations. It's doubtful.
I know.
Because they haven't proven that to me yet in the past. But I'm hoping they've done something big with the sequel.
I'm keeping my hype and hope down low, but I hope they can surpass my expectations.
You and me both.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we feel about Tom Holland being cast as a young Nathan Drake in the potential Uncharted movie that may or may not happen? They've been talking about this movie forever.
I think that's cool. When I think back
I think it's pretty cool too.
That kid scene in Uncharted 3, I can definitely see Tom Holland playing that type of role.
I think it's a very safe pick.
You think so?
Uncharted, yeah.
Well, apparently the Sony guys just saw him in Spider-Man and were like, yeah, like right. We want him. So,
I mean, safe pick as in that narrative of him being young isn't really set in stone from what we've seen in the games.
Right, so you kind of just go anywhere with
it. Gotcha.
It's not like they're retelling
a story that's like Uncharted 1 or something.
No, I think that's just smart. They don't need to do I don't want them to do like the first game and make it into a movie. Like, I want to see different stuff, and we don't really know what he did between him meeting Sully and Uncharted Golden Abyss. We don't know what Nathan did, so I think that's the best time for them to do a movie.
Right. Yep. And see, I love this idea too. I think it's really awesome. You could do a ton of stuff with that, but at the same time, unless they change their mind, from what I've heard on multiple podcasts and things I've read, is that they plan to do a young movie with him and then bring in an older actor for another movie. But at this point, they might as well just keep Tom Holland as young Nathan Drake, because he's like 20 years old. It isn't like he would look significantly different 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So maybe they can just make a bunch of young Nathan Drake movies, like a young Indiana Jones saga type scenario where it's all stories we've never seen from Nathan Drake, just as he's younger running around with Sully and stuff. I think that'd be cool.
Now think about this. How does this sound to you? Because just me envisioning it in my head, you think with him being the young Nathan Drake, he's not going to be going on these killing sprees that he does in the later games.
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, they got to do something interesting or different with that scenario, because he can't just run around popping heads with a handgun.
I can't envision Tom Holland shooting anybody in a movie.
Neither can I, which is funny.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe he'll just be stealthy and knocking guys out and stuff if he has to. I don't know.
That's interesting. Kid, that still doesn't seem right. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's him and Sully just running around doing crap. I don't know. I don't know. I'll be interested to see.
Evading the bad guys the entire movie.
Exactly.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm interested to see if that even happens, because I feel like they've been talking about the Uncharted movie for years at this point. So,
in Elena,
if this happens, I'll be impressed.
Will Elena be in it? Because they are first introduced in Drake's Fortune? So if this is going to be official Uncharted canon, which who knows, it might not even be, but Elena will never even be introduced.
They could make a dramatic arc where there's a new girl they write into this.
I think they would have to be.
There's going to be a girl. Yeah, let's say that this first movie is miraculously successful and people want to see more. Then I imagine they'll have totally a new girl, and there'll be an arc with this girl. Maybe in the final movie she gets killed or something. That leaves a mark on Nathan going forward and kind of makes sense why he may or may not struggle with Elena going ahead. If they even make it to that point, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely wanted to succeed, because I love the Uncharted franchise, and I think it'd be cool to see that translated to the big screen. I feel like you've technically seen it 100 times with movies like Indiana Jones and even movies like Sahara. It reminds me sort of like Nathan Drake, Matthew McConaughey's character in those movies. So we'll see, I'm excited.
I'd be more willing to just let them start their own Uncharted movie canon, just because I don't want them to accidentally do something that'll like contradict itself in the games, and then put them say it ought still canon, but then it just makes something in the game not make sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, I feel like that's always a safe bet with any video game movie. Just do your own thing. I think that's why Assassin's Creed, although I didn't love the movie, I think in a lot of ways it works, because it stands on its own compared to the video games. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with them other than the fact that it just exists in that universe. So I think that's probably the best bet.
Do they even comment on that? Like, is that official AC canon?
I don't know if it's canon. It's just they borrow the fact that, oh, the Assassins and the Templars and the
Animus.
That's
the thing, is I don't even know why I'm discussing this, because I'm trying to think of every video game movie ever, and nobody talks about if it's in the canon or not. It's just a movie.
Right.
So I guess that's kind of how I need to think about
Warcraft
it.
Warcraft is canon.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I didn't dislike Warcraft at all.
Isn't Warcraft
I totally
like a retelling though of the game?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it takes place way before the actual MMO. So.
Yeah, because Warcraft is the RTS game. I'm just saying, isn't it just just retelling that story? Were they introducing like new story points?
No. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's just a retelling.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If Uncharted is like doing something the games have never done, like that's where it gets into the is this canon or not. And at the end of the day, does it actually matter? Is it going to change my life? No. I'm just interested to see like if it, you know, just if it is or not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I will believe it when we see a trailer at this point.
Yeah. Exactly.
But dudes, speaking of Ubisoft, as we were talking about Assassin's Creed a few minutes ago, Far Cry 5 has officially been revealed. It's taking place in Hope County, Montana. I don't know why I'm using a southern accent. It's not in the south, but I feel like I have to for some reason. But how do you guys feel about the trailer overall? I mean, there's a few little details I can hash out, but just initial impressions. How do you guys feel about it?
I thought the trailer was cool. I'm just kind of like, yeah, it looks cool.
That's kind of my impressions too. Yeah. Oh, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Far Cry. I'm not like a massive Far Cry fan, but I've since 2, I know it's like the thing now to say, oh, 2 is the best. But I remember when 2 came out.
People are saying that?
Yeah. Tons of people are saying how great 2 was. But I remember
because you and I played 2 and I love 3 and 4 way more than 2.
Yeah, I do as well. 2, I remember, was a trudge for me to even get through. The weapon degrade system was a cool idea, but it just ended up being extremely annoying.
Right.
And I just remember the fast travel system wasn't very good, so you were just constantly driving anywhere. If you passed a convoy, they would hunt you.
They would chase you to the ends of
the
earth.
Ends of the freaking earth to kill you, and it was just so annoying. But yeah, I've been seeing a lot recently that like, oh yeah, that was a good one.
That's typical. That happens with every sequel.
Yeah, that's like GTA 4 is better than 5, and Fallout New Vegas is the best Fallout of all time.
Right.
But, anyways, what was my point? But yeah, I been playing I've played every single Far Cry since 2. So like I was saying, I'm not like insanely into them, but I do like to play them, and I play them, you know, through all of them, and I platinumed 3 and 4. I say that I play the Far Cry's, but I haven't played Primal yet. But that one, I actually rented it. One of the few games that I rented, and I played about 2 hours, and my head was not in the correct place to play the game. Like, I lost interest almost immediately in that game. I think it was just not having guns, just for some reason, just at the moment, just didn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I am looking forward to, you know, getting back into another Far Cry with guns, and from the looks of the trailer and some of the pictures, like a big extensive, like a, arsenal of weapons, like including airplanes, and you know, looks like bows have returned and crap. But I guess to put everything I'm saying together is, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Not the biggest Far Cry fan, but I'll probably end up playing this one.
Mm-hmm. I think I will too. I'm fairly interested in the story. I mean, being a U.S. citizen, I've never been to Montana, so technically it's still an exotic location for me. But it says we're playing the role of the sheriff's deputy in a war between the U.S. Marshal Service and Hope County's resident cult leader, Joseph, leader of the project at Eden's Gate. Our allies include Pastor Jerome, Mary May, and Nick Rye. Nick Rye's the pilot
Sorry, you're going to go through who they all are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Nick Rye's the pilot, and he's inspired by his father and grandfather, apparently, who were war veterans defending their country as pilots, and he wanted to do the same. Mary May's father was killed by Joseph, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So she's kind of, that's what's fueling her fires, the death of her father.
She's the bartender, right?
She is the bartender, yeah, who appeared to be making drinks, but in fact was making Molotov cocktails. She looks like a total badass. I'm interested in getting to know her. And Pastor Jerome is the pastor who's obviously had issues with this cult. We're not happy with whatever he has to be preaching, and I like the fact that he picks up his gun and he's ready to kick some ass. Like Machine Gun Preacher. You ever seen that movie with Gerard Butler?
Nope.
It's actually not too bad. It's based on a true story. But besides the point, I'm in Preston's shoes as well. I also think it looks pretty cool. Now, I myself, I actually love the core gameplay of Far Cry. It doesn't do anything necessarily new or spectacular, but just I don't know why I love so much just sneaking into a base, stealth killing everyone, running around hunting animals and building up my arsenal and increasing my, you know, what would you call it, my bow quiver. Leveling up. That's what I'm like. Leveling up all my gears. What I'm trying to say. I got stuck there for a second. Creating things. Yeah, it's cool. So I've always enjoyed that aspect of Far Cry. I know a lot of games
in this setting. Like,
I think it will because I've read that there are many wild animals in Montana, including obviously we saw a bear in the trailer chasing that one dude. There are bears. There are deer. Of course.
Yeah, but
there
think about this. Your Far Cry 3 took place, and you're like this bro dude who is trapped on this tropical island, so you're having to scavenge materials to survive and upgrade yourself. Far Cry 4, you are trapped in this, you know, the Himalayas or whatever it's called, their version of it, and you're stuck there and you're having to, you can't go to like a Walmart or something and upgrade, you know, buy a bigger quiver, but you're a junior officer in Montana. And you would be going around killing bears to make like a sack for it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It just doesn't,
that's what I
it
was
just
thinking.
Doesn't fit.
Yeah. That's why I'm waiting for further explanation, which I think we'll get either at E3 or beyond, because they have to explain that. Cause that is confusing. Like, why can't I just go to the nearest grocery store and get what I need there?
Like, I'm sure
there's not a grocery store near.
I'm sure there's a Walmart.
Rural.
There's a Walmart nearby somewhere in Montana.
Right. I'm under the impression that this cult has grown to a point where they've basically overtaken Hope County. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you're with the U.S. Marshal Service. Now, you assume with the Marshal Service, you can bring in an army if you want to deal with these guys.
Yeah. That's what makes no sense to me, is because like, if all of this crap is going on, I don't know, maybe the story, I'm sure the story will have to explain it. Like, why isn't the federal government getting involved in this? You know what I mean? Like, it has to be addressed in the story because that's too big.
Maybe, but I mean, I know this sounds so stupid and generic, but maybe it's post-apocalyptic and we don't know it yet. Like, maybe it's something, some kind of fallout has happened in the world. And this,
I mean,
they are
a doomsday cult.
Right.
So,
okay. So
know.
That would make sense, maybe. I guess. I guess we'll see. But
I mean, they're prepping for Doomsday, so I don't think it would have arrived yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. We'll see. That is confusing. Those are questions that I have as well, but I don't really care that much because ultimately I've never really played Far Cry for the story anyway. I mean, I like the characters, but I can't really remember any of them besides the main villains from Far Cry 3 and 4.
Yeah. I mean, the villains are always cool. Voss
as far as
what was his name? Ming or something?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Troy Baker, I know he did it.
Mm-hmm. So. Which I feel so bad because the revelation of his character never really came full circle for me until after I beat the game, when you have the option at the very end to just blow his head off instantly.
Yeah, I walked in the
and
room.
I know you and I both did that because I was so sick of his crap that I shot him instantly. I was like, all right, good, he's dead. And then when I watched a review of the game or someone really doing an in-depth analysis of the story, I realized that, crap, maybe I've been the bad guy the whole time, honestly.
Yeah.
Even though this guy's been in control of all these factions and this enemy faction that you've been dealing with the whole game, technically you've been the one slaughtering everyone in your path. He's just kind of been cooped up in his place hanging out. So it was interesting. I liked Far Cry 4 a lot. And I didn't platinum 3, but I did platinum 4 because I enjoyed playing it so much. But that's what I was going to say about Far Cry, is that although I'm not totally in love with the setting, maybe I'll grow to like it even more when we find out more about it and see more of it. But it's just the core gameplay of Far Cry that I enjoy so much. I don't know what it is. I mean, so many games do what Far Cry does, especially Ubisoft games. But I've just always enjoyed Far Cry, the way it feels, the way it plays. So I'm definitely interested in playing it.
I know some of the funnest times that me and you have had in co-op was in Far Cry 4. I've laughed.
Yeah.
When we like trapped elephants and...
This is so terrible, but so funny.
The girl I was dating at the time was like obsessed with elephants. And she was taking a nap next to me, and me and Garrett were, in this village, like, trapping with our cars, like, elephants in a circle, and we were just throwing down all the C4 we had, and just blowing them sky high, like, launching them into the air, and we were laughing so hard. It was like...
And then they're like... Yeah. And they fly like 100 feet in the air.
It was like 2 a.m. too, so everything's automatically funnier. And I woke up.
Dude, remember when, in addition to the elephants, we killed an entire village of people and stacked all the bodies on top of each other? There was like a mound, like an anthill of bodies. And you remember you could do that flicking off the camera emote and Preston would stand in front of the camera and flick me off and I'd take a screenshot and just him flicking off the camera like 100 dead bodies behind him was so funny. Yeah, I forgot how much fun the co-op is in Far Cry. Speaking of which, the whole game, Far Cry 5, is playable in co-op.
That's why I brought that up. So I feel like that would be cool to play with each other through the entire thing.
Definitely. So how do you feel about the dog companion? That's kind of cool. I know there's been a million dog companions in games at this point, but this dog can fetch you weapons. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So what are you going to name your dog, Preston?
Pooby.
Pooby?
Pooby. Yep.
Okay, Jacob, Poobie. You should name yours Richard Dringle, since we spoke about Richard Dringle earlier.
No.
Okay. Well, what will you name your dog?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Why does that matter right now?
Because you got to have a name for your pup.
Well, the game's not out yet, so it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, man. I'm feeling inspired already. I'm going to name mine.
Oh, is that what you're really looking forward to, this Far Cry right now?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited about it. I don't have to play it now. I just am. I am looking forward to it as we speak. So I'm going to name him... here's a filler name for now. I'm going to name him Gilbert, but that'll probably change. That's what I'm feeling right now, though.
I always name my characters in the game. Well, my PSN ID is John Pooba. Then I name all my characters Pooba Jones. And then if I have a companion, I always name him Pooby.
Okay.
So it's just something I have to do.
Pooby. That's exciting. Now, I do recall, Preston, I always enjoy the map editor in these games. Now, I never utilize it myself, but Far Cry 2, I mean, there was many maps we played in Far Cry 2 that blew my mind, but especially that one that was a massive maze. Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. We spent hours in that maze just trying to figure it out, and it was intense.
Yeah.
So I always enjoy seeing what players come up with.
Maybe
editor.
That's why people have such good memories of Far Cry 2 is just the map editor, because I don't think it's that been as be it. Good in the following installments.
I haven't heard much about it. Now, I do recall vaguely exploring some of the map, our user-created maps in Far Cry 4, and maybe 3 as well, but I don't remember anything specific like I do in 2, because I distinctly remember that maze in Far Cry 2, and it blew my mind. So. Yeah. There's not much else to say other than what we've seen. I think the trailer looks cool. I'm intrigued by the setting. I'm not totally in love with it yet, but hopefully when we see more, I'll be more inclined to jump in.
I hope I hope it's a switch up. I hope it's not just like, oh, here's Far Cry again, but we're in a mountainous region, which they've technically were already in Far Cry 4, but just like a down home country setting. So hopefully there's enough switch up in the core gameplay mechanics they have. So
That's why I'm wondering, because we'll see gameplay at E3 at least a little bit, but people have said from IGN and other sources that have seen a brief demo of the game said all of what you'd expect is in there. There's flamethrowers and machine guns and handguns and plenty of vehicles. I know you can drive semi trucks and tractors in this one. There's airplanes, but they didn't mention anything new per se. So maybe they'll show something off at E3. We don't know. But I am hoping for something a little more compared to the last two. Although I really enjoyed the last two, I think it's time they bring in something new.
Yeah.
So other than the new setting, is Primal, as cool as it looks, I don't think I'll ever go back and play it. But from those Far Cry fans that have played it, especially Mr. Stealth Gamer, I love watching that guy play Primal. It's incredible.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm looking forward to it. Any other thoughts from you, Jacob?
No, you guys pretty much summed up everything we know. I don't know if I'm ready to jump in another Ubisoft collectathon, but I've been definitely interested in like the narrative and what's happening with this cult and stuff. So
okay.
I'll definitely play it this coming February.
I feel you. Yeah, if I can just jump out of a plane from the clouds and stealth kill a guy again like I did in Far Cry 4, I'll probably be satisfied. That's some of my favorite things to do, is set records for myself. How high could I fly and fall, skydive and land on a guy and stab him? That was always my favorite thing to do in Far Cry 4. So, good times. But boys, that brings us to community questions, our favorite part of the podcast, because we can communicate with each and every one of you directly. If you'd like your questions read on the show, you can reach us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com, on Twitter at @obvious_gaming, or on our Discord channel under the Ask IOG section. You can join us there. All the information for all those places is all found in the description of every single one of our YouTube videos, including our RSS feed description as well, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's on iTunes and Spotify. So please send us questions if you guys want to run on the show. We love hearing from you guys, and it adds additional conversation to each and every podcast, whether it lands on the It's Obvious podcast or on our new show, Ask IOG, which, again, we're pushing to get to a weekly point so we can put it on podcasting services. We're really enjoying that as well, getting to know all of you guys. So thank you to each and every one of you who took time out of your days to send us your questions. But the first one comes from Nick. Nick says, "Hey guys, I'm very interested in Destiny 2, even though I never played the first one. The interest comes from a lot of friends saying that they've met people they still game with in this game, as well as their fathers talking about playing Destiny with their sons or daughters as a way of bonding. I'm a total PC gamer, as I don't own any consoles without buying a console to play Destiny on. Will I be at a disadvantage when Destiny 2 comes out?"
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think the shooting mechanics are so solid that anyone can pick it up and play it.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's just that there was no narrative that I feel like you need to go back and play the first one to, you know to go into the next one.
I think
because they've said, like, this is a game for Destiny veterans and new players coming in. So they made this game, Destiny 2, specifically for new people and veterans. So
totally. And if anything, I'd say as far as lore is concerned, all you'd really need to be aware of is, the Traveler and maybe some of the main characters. Essentially, yeah. I mean, you could read
but
that.
But you're gonna learn about them in the first mission, I assume.
Right, so. Yeah. So you could either just play through Destiny 2, or if you wanted to be just semi-aware of just the very basics of the Destiny's lore, you could probably read that in a Wikipedia article in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a way to go back and play a Destiny 1, I mean, I think it's worth going back to play just to...
Especially now, after everything that's come for, there's plenty to do. I mean, if you started right now, you'd probably have plenty to play until the sequel comes out. So
it'd be fun to go back and play for the first time.
Yeah. What do you think, Preston?
What was the question?
This gentleman, Nick, wants to know if he at a disadvantage going into Destiny 2 if he has not played Destiny 1?
Well, maybe in terms of just how the gunplay is and stuff. Like, I guess if you're accustomed to how the game actually plays, then perhaps, and I'm sure kind of just the overall just like how the menus work and just how the loot system works. You know, it's all like the core base stuff that probably isn't changing dramatically. It's probably good to know how that works. So I would say if you are pretty sure you're going to be highly invested in Destiny 2, I would definitely check out the first one, because you can get the entire collection for not a lot of money at all. So... And totally. If you want something to play this summer, like y'all said, that is a ridiculous amount of gameplay right there. Like, you definitely have enough to keep you occupied for a few months easy. So
totally.
It's basically the only thing you're missing out is the gameplay and, you know, the memories that you would make playing with other people. Mm-hmm. But you're going to do that in Destiny 2.
So. Yeah. I mean, as far as playing the game, it's super easy to pick up, I'd say. So, especially if I know you're a PC guy, but if you ever happen to pick up a console, of course, the three of us will be playing. We have an awesome community who will also be playing. So I look forward to playing with some of you OGs out there. It's going to be awesome. The next one comes from Bohungulas, Mr. Kyle. Also has to do with Destiny 2. He says, "This is more for Jacob, since we share a deep love for Destiny. Jacob, my white chocolate comrade, have you ever been in a group that raced to discover a raid? When the Oryx raid came out, me and my friends spent tireless nights discovering the ins and outs of that raid in order to finish before others. Have you ever raced to complete a raid? And do you have any stories of intense frustration attempting to do so? If not, do you have any plans for attempting this in Destiny 2?
Unfortunately not. You know, it's something that I always wanted to do, was just go in with a group of five other people and just don't know a damn thing about it. Just go in and, you know, just try for hours and hours and eventually figure out what to do. I guess the closest I got to this was when me and Garrett ran our first Vault of Glass. Preston had already done it before, but me and Garrett didn't know what we were doing. We just went in blind.
it was a nightmare.
It took till I think about 4 a.m. when we actually.
I was there with you guys doing it.
Yeah, Preston was there.
Yeah.
But Preston knew what he was doing, and I think he was kind of teaching us what to do.
But even then, it was such a struggle. Yeah. We were playing a bunch of dudes we had never met.
We were fine. Me, you, we all three of us were great. The guys with us were just awful.
That's why it's always good to go in with a group of people you know, or that you can trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
that's the worst.
I mean, that's the closest I ever got. I mean, Destiny 2, I definitely like to go in blind to a raid and just figure it out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we have the chance to do that with our with the new clan system that's implemented.
Yeah, I agree. I know a lot of you out there who tune into this podcast already have clans of your own and groups you've been rolling with in Destiny 1, which we totally get. But if you ever wanted to play with us, we could definitely use your help. We'd love to team up with some of you guys.
I mean, if you're on PS4, you can go ahead and join it now. I mean, it's the clan's already there.
That's cool. So yeah, that's true. Does it just carry over?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the It's Obvious Gaming clan, also known as Space Boys. The Join Space
Boys.
It's
what it originally was, yes.
Yeah, Space Boys. I mean, it's titled as Obvious Gaming, but truly we're called the Space Boys.
I think
Boys.
Before that it was just Three Boys, because it was just us three.
Right, yeah, we've expanded
around
a little bit. But the next one comes from Demi Valos. It says, have you guys ever tried Rocket League? I feel like you guys would enjoy. Demi Valos, we have indeed tried Rocket League, and I myself am a fan, but I don't play it nearly as often as I feel like I should. But every time I've played it, it's been awesome.
Garrett, wasn't that the
fantastic
game you threw your controller across the room at?
That, well, yeah, I forgot we did a Let's Play for Rocket League.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Why'd you get mad at Rocket League?
Because I was mad for some reason. I think Preston kept scoring on me or something.
Dang it.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I threw my controller playing Rocket League in a Let's Play.
The most I've played Rocket League was at our buddy Evan's house. We sometimes play split screen Rocket mm-hmm. League, and I mean, it's fun. It's not something I really see myself ever getting into, but mm-hmm. it's cool.
I will say I love NoClip's documentary of the Rocket League and its production. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. So Rocket
That's the guy
League
that worked
is,
at GameSpot, right?
Then yeah, originally at yeah. Danny O'Dwyer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Rocket League is killing. I mean, that game sells like wildfire every month. So they're still supporting it
as well.
It's
kind of like Overwatch in that they keep pumping out content for it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah, but I have played it. I do enjoy it, but I don't play it very often. But every time I do, it's great. What about you, Preston?
Yeah, I like Rocket League. When it first was a PlayStation Plus game, I played a decent amount of it, but I kind of fell off. I don't really get invested into sports type games too heavily, so that's kind of the reason why I kind of fell out.
I feel you, but I maybe at some point, if I'm in the mood, I'll download Rocket League on PS4 and try to get good at it, because I've never been very good at it, because I've only maybe total I've played 5 or 6 matches of Rocket League, but those 5 or 6 matches I played have been exhilarating.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely a cool game.
Mm-hmm. David Heyer says, so my friend and I have been wondering what the next Battlefield theme may be, and World War II seems obvious, but seeing how Call of Duty may have stolen their thunder, I was wondering what your guys' take is. I always thought a Western theme would be awesome. The horse riding component of Battlefield 1 seems like it'd be perfect for it. The idea of an old West town based on maps with horses, repeating rifles, Gatling guns, mounted stagecoaches just seems like a fun new direction for Battlefield. How do you guys feel about that idea?
It'd be fun. I mean, I don't really know what they will do next, because I feel like if they do World War II, I feel like it will be a little rehashed when people are comparing it to Call of Duty World War
II.
Yeah,
but it's so different, though. Battlefield's gameplay is just so different.
They're all about the vehicles and everything.
Yeah, it's just giant maps and stuff, whereas, granted, we haven't seen COD World War II gameplay, which I'm mm-hmm. assuming it's a little bit bigger based on that multiplayer lobby clip we saw with tons more people. But I highly doubt Call of Duty is like taking on like Battlefield style multiplayer with like massive maps and stuff. So I actually don't think it would be like, I don't think the thunder is stolen or anything, in my opinion.
I just don't know if people want World War II enough to have, you know, two shooters. Well, granted, I don't know when this next Battlefield's coming out, but I don't know. I don't know if people want World War II this much to have two big games.
I don't know.
Of World War II.
I think people do. I think people are kind of getting a little exhausted. And that's the thing is, like, if you want to play a modern day Battlefield, just pop in 4.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm not the one making the decision about the next Battlefield game.
I mean, I'm totally open to a new World War II Battlefield.
Yeah, I'm more interested in what they're going to name it.
This chair is so noisy. No, me too.
I intentionally grabbed the one that wasn't squeaky.
Yeah, so. Good call. That's okay. We do need to invest in new chairs and a new... There's so many new things we need to get at some point. But a Western Battlefield would definitely be cool. Like, exactly how you described it, I could see that being really awesome, but... I don't know. It is interesting to speculate. I've been wondering that myself, especially after the success of Battlefield 1, and I still love that game. If there's anyone out there, I know there's a few of you I've talked to online that still want to play Battlefield 1, I'm totally down anytime you guys want. Because I was talking to Jacob about this a couple days ago. For some reason, I am just in a total shooter mood right now. I just want to play every shooter that exists. It's probably because I watched so much Quake Champions gameplay that it put me in a mood to play any and all shooters. And of course, Overwatch has been great. But to those of you that want to dabble in some Battlefield 1 this week, please hit me up. I'd love to do so.
It's been a while since we've gotten a new shooter.
Yeah.
What, this last fall? Has a shooter come out this year?
I don't think. At least not on PS4.
I mean, there's Prey, but...
Yeah, Prey, but that's arguably, I guess, that's a shooter.
Farpoint.
But... Yeah, Farpoint, dude. Farpoint? That's a true shooter experience right there. You literally hold a gun in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So... But I am very excited for... Call of Duty, of course, and Battlefront later this year. I'm pumped. But yeah, it's just only time will tell when we hear more about Battlefield, but I'm very excited to find out. Personally, I hope they go the World War II route. I don't see why they wouldn't, especially considering back in the day there literally was World War II Call of Duty and World War II Battlefield going on at the same time previously.
I think they'll do Revolutionary War.
No, they're not.
Revolutionary War?
That'd be the worst.
Yeah,
game
don't get me
ever.
Wrong. I love that era, but it would be a sucky shooter. It'd be so dumb.
Be like
the closest
freaking...
I played to that was the Civil War game on 360. I remember I played it only to get all the achievements because it was so easy. But that game was so boring.
It's gonna be like fall in line, ready.
Yeah,
like reloading fire! Muskets and stuff. Yeah, it'd be super fun.
Exactly.
My musket's jammed.
Yeah, that would not be nearly as fun for sure. But Brandon Cameron says, if microtransactions were removed from games, do you think it would have a significant impact on games as a whole?
Yes.
In what way?
I think it would too. It'd be interesting because one, publishers would not be making, or is it, I guess the money goes to publishers and developers, but they wouldn't be making nearly as much money as they are now considering how much money they make off these microtransactions. Yeah. Now, I do think it'd change in positive and negative ways for both ends. Positively, I think people would return to a more competitive nature considering they have to grind for all their new gear versus just acquiring it in a loot box, paying it with real money. So now this thing, it's never really bothered me that much. I mean, I prefer to not have it, but I've never seen myself personally affected by people acquiring all these new things before I do via loot boxes and stuff. But what do you think, Preston?
I don't know, it seems like people have microtransactions down pretty well in terms of I'm completely disregarding mobile games right now because I don't know enough about them. But in terms of like Overwatch and I believe Injustice has microtransactions, right?
Yes, there is for the mother boxes to get all the gear.
The mother boxes?
That's what they're called in DC. You know, you see mother boxes in Batman v Superman. It's a short story, but those that cube that transforms, what's his name? Cyborg and his little clip that Wonder Woman or Bruce Wayne watches. Or is it Wonder Woman? It's Bruce Wayne. I can't remember. I can't remember anything about Batman v Superman. And the mother boxes is the technology that Apocalypse or whatever his name uses.
I mean, think about this. Do you think without microtransactions in Overwatch, do you think they would still be giving us new characters for free and new maps for free and all these new game modes for free?
I think Overwatch would be a thing, but it wouldn't, like you're saying, it wouldn't be for free. It would be a different game completely.
I think there would be kind of updates that you might have to pay for every now and then. I think those microtransactions, there's a steady flow of money to kind of keep them putting out content. At least that's what I think. I could be dead wrong, but I know that's what Halo 5 did, is they were allowed to put out new modes and maps and stuff for free due to those microtransactions. So
whereas Call of Duty has microtransactions now, correct?
Yeah, they still charge for maps and stuff, but right, I think so. They do that just because they can. I mean, people buy, that's the thing, is people buy it, so they might as well. Mm-hmm. I think Call of Duty does microtransactions bad, though. I don't think you should. Mm-hmm. I think microtransactions are good when it purely comes down to cosmetic things. That's where I think it's done correctly. I think it's bullcrap that like Call of Duty will release a new weapon and you have to just roll the dice to see if you can get it, and potentially you could never get that weapon. I think that's super dumb and shady, and I don't support that. So I would
another
kinda...
problem with Call of Duty is that not only do they do all these, you know, what are they called? Loot boxes? Like, what are they doing in Call of Duty? I don't know.
That's essentially what it is.
But they also do, you know, their season pass thing, too, on top of that.
Yeah.
So they're asking so much money for
I mean, because people buy it. Oh, yeah. I mean, just don't buy it, and they'll have to figure out a new way to, right. You know. I mean, I think they haven't come out and blatantly say it, but do you think there's a reason behind Battlefront not having a season's pass this time? Is it due to people didn't buy it the first time, so they'd rather just look cool and not have one than try and sell you one and not a lot of people buy it again?
Perhaps. I don't really know the answer. It's a good
or
question.
Maybe mm-hmm. they'll do microtransactions, cosmetic things to kind of fuel. Mm-hmm.
So that's risky with Star Wars, though.
Yeah.
Cosmetic.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do that. I don't know. I'm speaking out of my ass. I don't know what actually is going on. These are just assumptions I have. But would the world be, I guess the question is, would things be dramatically different? Probably. I don't think so. I mean, there was a time before microtransactions, and depending on who you ask, those could be better times. But I think as of now, in terms of the games that I play, microtransactions don't really negatively impact it. So
yeah, same with me.
I think developers, we are buying, this is a fact, games are as cheap as they have ever been. So if I buy Persona for $60, which is a freaking steal for how much content is in that game, and they have a costume pack or a Persona pack that will, you know, change the
swimsuit pack.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a real pack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They have they have older Persona packs where you can change your outfits to previous mm-hmm. games, and the fight music in a battle will be like Persona's 4 fight music and stuff. So they have a ton of cool stuff. And if you like the game, I'm glad that there is a microtransaction to where I can, you know, give them, it's like tipping them. Like, yeah, I'll buy this really cool item and I love your game so much, I'll give you more money. So I like them being there just in case, you know, I want to support the developer a little bit more. And it's not in, you know, making my experience any worse if I don't want to buy them. So sorry if I don't know if what I said was coherent or whatever, but
no, sorry. It was. Yeah. I'm just, that's all I have to really say, is that they haven't really impacted me in any way. But I think even if they completely eliminate microtransactions, which will never happen at this point, but even if they were to do that, I don't think it'd be that different. Cause like you said, there was a time where we survived without them. So
that's the thing, is like, I don't think that they'll ever get rid of them. Cause like I said, mm-hmm. it's if 100 people buy it, it was worth them to put it in there.
Right.
Because I'm assuming, granted, this is my, you know, I'm ignorant cause I don't make games, but making a new skin might take, let's say, like 2 weeks for them to make. And it might, you know, 1,000 people buying it more than made up for that, and they made a little bit of profit, so it was worth for them to put it in there. People would have to literally look on the back of like a box, and if it says microtransactions, we're not buying this game purely for microtransactions, for it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there's no going back at this point.
No,
but
we're too far deep. We're far too
and then dumb. You have the people, how many boxes did Ali A buy for something recently, Jacob? You told me, it blew my mind.
I don't remember.
You told me he bought like 500 of something and or spent like $500 on Call of Duty loot boxes, or someone told me this.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like,
he spent it.
It's like him alone justified it for them to have it in there.
Exactly. So when you have big YouTubers alone doing stuff,
I know
like
that he frequently spends hundreds of dollars on loot boxes.
Yeah. So maybe Ali A himself
is the funds to
keeping microtransactions alive. I don't know. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Like I was watching like the anniversary for Overwatch launched this week. I watched a couple streamers. Each one of them at least spent $100 on loot boxes.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Now, do they benefit more than you did in your loot box purchase?
I mean, they bought so many. They bought 100. So a little bit. Yeah.
Man.
But it is a common theme that a lot of people are having bad luck with these loot boxes. I don't know if they change, you know, the
That's
drop rates or anything.
Perhaps.
Hey,
perhaps.
I mean, at least you get gold. And if you like truly want one skin, you can still, you know, work your way up to it. Imagine if there was no gold and you just had to get the skin. That would be torture.
That's how the summer games was for Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you couldn't buy them? Skins. Oh, that sucks. It sucks.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That's why they changed it after that. People were very upset.
Mm.
Dude. Yeah.
Well, it's better times we're in now. Happier times. Not so much for you, Jacob. Hopefully you earn those skins
before
the event ends.
It's all going to be okay.
I believe it will, Jacob. I like that outlook. Martin MC22 says, do you guys know what's up with the Fable series these days with Peter Molyneux gone off into the abyss? Does Microsoft own the rights? If so, I feel like now would be the perfect time for a reboot. Thoughts? They need it bad. And I actually read prior to this podcast that as of late April, Mr. Phil Spencer himself claims that there are many places the franchise could go, and it's not out of the question. So, still up in the air, but I would adore a complete reboot of Fable. I mean, you could call it Fable 4, but I just call it Fable at this point and make it brand new from the ground up. Maybe a new creative director. I don't even know if Peter Molyneux, although he never lived quite up, or the games never lived quite up to the way he described them, his magic touch did have a presence in all those Fable games. Despite how much I disliked and was disappointed with Fable 3, I adore the franchise overall, and I really do hope it makes a significant comeback. Because Fable Legends, although it was canned, I had zero interest in it regardless. So how do you feel about a new Fable, Preston? Do you want one?
Yeah, I'd like a new Fable. I think that would be killer for Microsoft to have as an exclusive, like a insane, like medieval Witcher-esque, like RPG. That's an exclusive. Grant, I'm not like comparing Fable to Witcher, but you know what I mean. Just like a really big fantasy RPG. So I think that's definitely in their interest to reboot that series pretty soon.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get a big surprise at E3 this year. I wouldn't say it's quite in my predictions, but I'd love to be surprised by a Fable announcement at
E3. I'm looking to see who owns Fable. I mean, I know Microsoft can do crap with it. But
Lionhead's closed, so wherever it goes, it's going to be somewhere new.
I don't know. There's like a ton of foreign posts I'm like looking through. I don't care enough to look through that. I know Microsoft still has it though, but that would definitely be a bombshell, in my opinion, to announce a brand new like Fable game, not a spinoff or like a reboot of the series, just called Fable. And then Peter Molyneux just like comes out from the back in like a cloud of mist and just walks out onto the stage.
Or rises from below the stage on the platform.
Fable is the greatest game that's ever been made. All he'd say.
Fire shoots up.
Yep. The end.
Man, guitar solo. What's that guy doing? I know he started. He started his own company.
Right. I remember he did an IGN Unfiltered podcast recently with Ryan McCaffrey. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
I listened
to the small segment where he talked about Fable. That's the only thing I listened to. You said you listened to the whole thing?
I did.
Okay. What'd you get out of it other than the little Fable snippet?
I don't remember. I don't remember anything, but I remember enjoying it when I listened to it.
I mean, I love listening to Peter Molyneux talk. He gets me so hyped for his games, and they're always just far below the bar he sets, but I still enjoy them. So
he always tells a fable about his games.
He does. Oh. Yes, all of his descriptions are a fable. That's very true, Jacob.
I'm gonna tell him. Great way of putting it. I'm gonna tell him you said that.
Oh no. Our channel's ruined.
Yeah, we're screwed now. Molyneux will bring us down. So lastly, guys, this is a creative one. This is quite intense, so prepare yourselves. It comes from Mr. Matthew Durkin. He says, it's 2:43 a.m. and you're on your fourth outer of your Zelda binge. You hear a pan drop to the floor from the kitchen, then a scream. The scream echoes throughout your house. A four-legged, eight-foot-tall witch banshee smashes your door open. Its claws are dripping with the blood of your most loved pet, and its teeth are clenched on your pet's head. This enrages you, and in that moment, time stops. Everything is still, and a man in a white robe appears in your mind and says, choose the attributes of your most beloved interactive medium character. You think to yourself, what do I do? Do you choose the form of Link, Marcus Fenix, Pikachu? The choice is yours. What attributes are you going to utilize to take down this witch banshee that has your pet's head in its mouth?
What is a witch banshee?
It doesn't matter, Jacob. It's a beast that's eating your pet. What are you going to do about it?
I don't have a pet.
Just imagine your most beloved belonging, then. It's eating it. How are you going to deal with this thing? It's in your house.
I don't know. I need to think.
What about you, Preston?
Superman.
This is easy. I'm going to go for a witch banshee. You can just do Geralt, man. Geralt can deal with a witch banshee anytime.
Yeah, but Superman could too.
That's true, but I'm going to go with Geralt because I think Geralt's super cool.
Does Superman have a weakness to magic? Does a witch banshee know magic?
The only weakness I know of for Superman is kryptonite, so that's a very boring answer, Preston.
It's also magic, too. He can't do stuff against magic. I know, that's like the real life answer, though. A fun answer would be...
Or Ratchet and Clank. I know they're... I consider them a package deal. I just really like those characters. I think they could deal with a witch banshee. It's got a lot of creative weapons. You can just use the Sheepinator. Turn them into a sheep.
That's a good answer. Point.
And then cook the sheep and have lamb chops for dinner.
How about that? I'd turn into Sam Fisher.
Okay.
And then I'd stealthily sneak around him and break his neck.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jacob?
Yeah, what if I was Garrett from Thief? I just like crep around.
What, are you going to steal the man's pocket change?
Yeah, realize that his change is gone. He'd be like, oh no, I got to leave.
Maybe you steal the your pet's head from its mouth and replace it with something else because you're a thief. And then you reattach your pet's head and he's fine.
Yeah, my pet might not be okay, but I could pickpocket the banshee.
That's true.
I might be rich because of it. So maybe it's a good trade.
Yeah, you might be correct, Jacob.
I could buy a new pet.
I think in one way or another, all of us would succeed in dealing with this witch banshee who slays our pets. Bastard.
I'd just stay my...
But shout out to each and every one of you who sent us community questions.
I would
questions
just stay
this
myself.
That caps them.
I'd stay myself and just kick his ass. I don't need to be somebody else.
Okay.
Or I could do a character from ARMS.
You could, yeah. Those guys are pretty tough. You could be the Ninjago guy.
Noodle Girl.
Is that her name, Noodle Girl?
I think so.
Or the guy with the bouncing punches, the blob, whatever he is. I forgot his name.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice either. I like your style, Jacob.
Yeah. So he thinks the punch is coming right at him, but if you bounce it off the ground, he's like, how is this possible?
You're right. You know? You're right. Yeah, that witch banshee kind of sounds like an idiot, and we deal with him swiftly. That does it for me, guys. Again, thank you to each and every one of you who sent us community questions, and to each of you who have sent us questions for Ask IOG. Hopefully, episode 4 is coming later this week if we can get our act together with our schedules. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it for me, boys.
That was episode 104 of the It's Obvious. Excuse me? Gaming podcast.
Over there? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. Also, check us out on iTunes if you haven't already, and please leave us a review. One of our main goals is to get on the new and noteworthy section of iTunes. Jacob, have we had any more reviews?
Oh, God. Jacob's going to look that up. You and I should diddle our thumbs until he does so, Preston.
All right.
Have I mentioned you look great in green?
Garrett, sing us Ocean Man while we wait.
Yeah, Ocean Man's a great tune.
Ocean Man.
You wearing a Zelda shirt, Preston?
I am wearing a Zelda shirt. Zelda isn't
is
on
that
it.
From... Lean up just a wee bit. Let me see your chest there. Is that from Ocarina?
No.
Majora's Mask? I can't tell. Yeah. I'm too blind.
It's Majora's Mask.
Okay. It looked like that, Link.
Majora's Mask 3DS version shirt. I believe I got this from thinkgeek.com.
Okay.
Speaking of shirts, guys, Garrett, I purchased a Persona 5 shirt the other day.
What does it look like?
It's got... Do you know what the chibi versions of people are? They're like little cute, like miniature versions of the anime characters.
Okay, yes.
So
yes.
I got every single, like all the protagonists like lined up going down my shirt with their code names under it.
What, are you some kind of weeb, bro?
No, I promise.
No, that actually sounds really cool. I'd sport that shirt as well, but I'm not allowed to sport it until I beat the game. That does sound awesome.
Thank you. Jacob, you have an update for us.
I do. We're up to 31 5-star reviews.
No way.
Dude,
that's great.
Thank you. And we have two new written reviews.
Do we? Who are they from?
Girth Brooks, 92.
Girth Brooks, that's awesome.
And The Flash, 2189.
Awesome. Shout out to you, Sam Harris and Mr. Girth.
Yes.
I haven't decided if we should read the reviews on our podcast. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll just give a shout out to who does it.
Yeah. I mean, we appreciate them.
We greatly appreciate. Seriously, all of you guys who take time to do that, it means the absolute world to us. And just the fact that you guys are listening, and whether you like the video, and even if you comment, even if you just tune in on Spotify, believe us when we say it. We can't thank you enough. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We definitely appreciate that for show. And also to reiterate again, we are going to be live streaming the E3 press conferences. I can assure you, you're not going to want to miss out hanging out with us live watching these things. Because there's no telling what we'll do. There really
isn't.
Will
we be naked? Who knows?
We might be naked. Who knows? You'll have to show up to see. You don't want to
see... Garrett be sprawled out on the table?
Probably.
You don't want to see...
Will I be combing his hair?
What?
So will I be stroking his hair?
Possibly.
You'll be stroking my hair with your breasts.
Maybe
like a comb. It's not very effective.
Very
I gotta tell you, it's erotic.
All of these,
to say the least.
You'll learn if all of these things are true or false. If you just show up and watch, but I can assure you there will be goofs and gaffes and freakouts. Who knows what the three
Preston
of us...
Preston might cry again.
I might cry
someone
again.
Someone shed a tear.
I know you don't want to miss that. And you might watch us eat obscenely bad food as we watch these conferences as well. And you can also order obscenely bad food and eat alongside us, just like we're best friends. So,
exactly.
But besides that, I think that'll do it for this week, Garrett, unless you have anything else that I missed.
No, I just, again, any of you guys that want to play games this week, let me know, especially Battlefield and Injustice if you want to duke it out. I'm probably going to trade it in by the end of the week because all I really feel like doing is getting
Garrett,
the story.
Garrett, if you trade it in, find out the trade-in price and I will buy it from you for that price.
Okay, that's cool.
I want it a little. I want it enough to where I would buy it for less than $60. So
you got it then. Right. I will keep that in mind.
Excellent. Sounds great.
And we will stream preferably Tuesday and Thursday night of this week. If you guys want to tune into the live streams, that'd be awesome. We're trying to build our Twitch community still, and we may stream more. I don't know. It depends on how the week plays out. But we look forward to connecting with all of you this week, and I hope each and every one of you has a blessed and productive week. And again, thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye, everyone.